Thank you, Terry. Every now and again, it's good to do something different, including doing a little bit of your own work. In seminary, I'll really say that the languages, while I enjoyed them, were not my strong suit. Hebrew kind of went off the rails. I blame memory because we were distracting each other most of that class. And it was a complicated class. But what I did carry out of that one was the word of the professor who said fairly early on, look, I don't expect you to know this, to study this, to be experts in this, or even to use it all that often. But what I would love for you to do is for time and again, go and find your own way of reading and knowing, and find something different in the text. And to that end, that's what I've done this week. You've heard of the NRSV and the NIV and all the rest. I wanted to give you the BLT, Bryce's Loose Translation, this week, of the Luke text from chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And you just heard this story, but listen for some of the other possibilities here. It won't be on the screen because I don't want to confuse you. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. And look, a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, Jesus is going to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I am giving to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I am paying back four times as much. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the ones who are being destroyed. I'm guessing by now this is among the most that you've heard about Zacchaeus in quite some time. He's not among the pantheon of our spiritual heroes, and from our depictions of him, we might think little of him. Sorry, I have to go there. And as I think about it, I really haven't done all that much with the story of Zacchaeus. This is not one of these stories that rings through the halls of academic theology with serious conversations about the meaning and the implications about it. This has a whole lot more to do with the way that we all remember it as we stand together. Maybe with the felt boards and the Sunday school. people. And while Zacchaeus is doing better than most, and he has his own song after all, that's largely where we leave him. As a kid's song and a kid's story, that we, and the song we might even mix up with Old King Cole with a Merry Old Soul. I was going to play the song for you, but I think we have that covered, so we'll just skip over it here. Whether all this transports you back to the days of half-height Sunday school chairs, or if it's the first time that you've heard this, the message is fairly clear. Zacchaeus was a tiny person, working and old, just wanted to see the man from Nazareth. And the point was, in seeing, he was changed, and in changing, he found salvation. And that's how we use Zacchaeus. Just as one more of the stock characters of people who are there and are changed in being touched by Christ. Being the outsiders for the outside and being brought inside and healed. And we could have a very clear and straightforward sermon. Go like Jesus. Go and be like Zacchaeus. Be like Jesus too, but be like Zacchaeus. And do whatever you can to see Jesus, and in seeing, be transformed. Turn from what you have been and sin no more. That's a good and solid sermon. Let's go home. Of course, you know by now that that's not about to happen. I'm just getting warmed up. Because as important as that way of hearing the story is, and living the story is, it's only one way of hearing the story. There are more possible translations and more possible meanings that we can get at with Zacchaeus if we would allow them. If you're listening closely to my version of the text, you might have picked up on a few differences from what you're used to hearing. I changed some important words in my translation than what is generally found in the text, and they change what's going on. And it raises a question. What if Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector and small man with a bad reputation, was not only a sinner to be saved, but was somebody held up as maybe an example of one being saved? What if this person, who was considered not even a Jew because of his collaboration with Rome, was a person as the example of the kingdom that Jesus was trying to espouse? What if Zacchaeus is the model, a model of the upside down kingdom, and not just a person who needed salvation? I need to say, there is support for this other way of reading. I'm not just making this up and arriving at this proposal just as, well, what if? There's actually some fairly good rationale underpinning things here, and that's where I need to take you down the rabbit hole of a little bit of translation. It won't be too bad. bear with me. We're used to translation as a fairly easy equation, and we make it a fairly algebraic thing. We know that when you're presented with x plus 3 equals 5, you know what x is, because you know what 5 is, and you know what 3 is, and you know what needs to be added to 3 to make 5. And most of the time, that's how we approach translation. The different words in different languages are simply variables to be plugged in easy equivalents to go from one to the next. And you look at the chart and you make the equivalents, and that's the end of it. But in reality, languages are far more complicated than that. We know this if we've ever tried to go someplace where we don't speak the language. Right? The time when I was in Colombia talking to a taxi driver trying to get home, and I kept asking him to please drop me at the Gatos Azules, forgetting that I was in a different language and I was being asked to be dropped next to the blue cats, not the blue gates. Oops. I got home. But that's how it is. You add in ancient languages and ancient traditions and long histories, and things get even more complicated. And through the words and ways that language works, there's even more here. And that's what's going on here with Zacchaeus. Because these words from the interview with Jesus that he has, where he says clearly, I will give, I will repay, in Greek, the same form is not just the future tense of the verb, I will, but also the present progressive tense of the verb. So just to go back to grammar class a little bit, future, I will do this. Progressive, I am doing this. It's the same form. It's the same reality, but a very, very different meaning. Add to this that, by the way, Zacchaeus, roughly translated, means the one who is pure. Might suggest that Luke is having a little bit of fun with us here. This changes what we hear a great deal. Because here is one who is being saved. But also here is one who is part of the kingdom already here, but yet still coming. Being held up as an example. And my point here isn't to necessarily say, well, this one translation is better than another. Nah. It's not necessary. And you know, leaning back on what my professor told me, sometimes reading a little bit differently can give you a different view and a different word on what God might be doing and might be saying in a place. And whenever we can find a broader view so we can know more of God's saving love, that is worth doing. And a surprise worth having. Because when we look at this example of salvation, it has an impact for us. Because I'm guessing that salvation is not a concept that we spend a great deal of time contemplating. Both because we have confidence in our salvation. We put our faith in Jesus, we are then saved. But also because it's not often how we think about our faith and what is here. Yes, we follow Jesus, but we also know that the work of faith, the actions of faith, are all equally about us and how we behave and how we respond. Having been washed clean and changed, we know that our response, our behaviors, our reaction to that change is our work. And oftentimes we come and make it about our ability to change rather than God's active imagination within us. We made church far more of being a place where we practice our goodness collectively and improve our methods of self-sufficiency than a place where we come as we are from where we are, sometimes whole, sometimes broken, but all in need of salvation as an active imagination of God. Salvation is a matter of a personal status and identity, and seldom bleeds over to the larger social sphere. And that's what I like about this reading of Zacchaeus. It gives us a very different sense of what's going on. Here's one who's meaning salvation, who's re-included in the family of Abraham as salvation comes to this house, simply because he is doing the work of salvation actively, presently. And that is changing things, not just for him, not just for his household, but for the people around him. As the system is slowly or incrementally changed, as wrongs are righted, as lives are changed. And that's salvation of a different tenor and a different view. And one that I think we also need to pay attention to. The salvation that Jesus is preaching and declaring for Zacchaeus is a salvation that reaches far beyond one wee little man, absolving him of his wee little problems. This is a salvation and relationship that changes the world around him and changes the way that people are called to relate to one another. That changes the way and the being of community in every way conceivable. This is a salvation that changes how life is lived, and who is in and who is out, and how the kingdom is there. This is a salvation that goes far beyond just the acceptance of an idea or a creed, but calls us to walk and be about the work of a kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. And this is a salvation that saves far more than individual souls, but also rescues whole communities, whole structures, whole families as well. A salvation that calls us to act in, for, and through the love of God toward a world that so desperately needs this type of radical salvation that holds that no person is irredeemable, your situation is without hope, and that challenges that we face every day are also part of the kingdom coming that continues to be revealed. This is the type of salvation that we also hold, and that we can live into and live out of if we are so bold as to share it. When we allow Zacchaeus to grow beyond a pleasant story and a pleasant book, like so many other stories that we have like this, we can see the challenges and the call that this story has for us as well. The call to reach beyond the acceptable boundaries and to include everyone in the salvation community. The call to maybe take a risk in living out salvation. To take a risk in seeing who is Jesus after all. To share who and what we are beyond ourselves. We are called like Zacchaeus down from our trees, down from our protective hiding spots, whatever they may be, to come and walk with Jesus, to be part of the saving, igniting kingdom, and to be part of the building agenda of the Rabbi of Galilee. The question is for each one of us every day is whether we will come and host the Lord, showing the work of the kingdom in our world, in our lives. It's a challenge, but it's a challenge worth taking. Might we hear this with fresh ears always and hear what God is saying to us as the ones who are being saved. And may our salvation resonate through our lives, young or old, and be part of the promise of the kingdom coming each and every day.